Well, hello there, and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly, and as you can probably tell, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat, because yes, and this is also why it's a bit late this week, I have been out in the field, and the great Scottish weather has given me a little bit of a chesty cough. Now, I'm not expecting any sympathy here. I'm expecting to get on with the news. So, without further ado, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A modern Bronze Age axe sculpture is constructed in England. And deep beneath the waters, prehistoric artifacts are discovered at a spring in Florida. 5,000 ancient stone statues are discovered in China. And with all due respect, a 4,000-year-old skeleton is to be reinterred in Scotland. An amazing find where an ancient sea cave on Skye has been occupied up until the present day. And still in Scotland, ancient Orcadian sites are scanned in 3D. An unusual find in South Korea, a Neolithic ore. And mitochondrial DNA links us all to a common female ancestor. We report on endangered archaeology in Pakistan after the floods, and more cheerful news that many prehistoric sites have been uncovered in Syria. Unique Iron Age burial sites are found in Tamil Nadu in India, and construction vehicles threaten ancient Turkish settlement and are linked to the death of a tourist. We've got another cannibal story where we dive into ancestral humans cannibals in Spain. And finally, Yorkshire's oldest pin-up returns home after 21 years lost in London. Can't wait for that one. On a modern roundabout in Salisbury in Wiltshire, England, you can see what looks like a huge Bronze Age axe. Well, it is a huge Bronze Age axe rising out of a barrow. It's part of public art associated with the adjacent housing development by Persimmon Homes. Before building work started, Wessex Archaeology excavated the site of the housing. One of the finds was a barrow, and this provided the inspiration for the artists Angela Cockayne and Robert Fearns of Forge Projects. When viewed from the east, the Iron Age and Norman monuments at Old Sarum provide the backdrop. From this side, you can also see on the shaft of the axe the coordinates of the roundabout, a reference to landscape, monument and mapping. Well, here they are. The coordinates are, for this Bronze Age axe sculpture, east 414814.5, north 133338.2, and 77.538 metres above Ordnance Datum. I'm actually quite intrigued and interested by this story because I really think there's a real opportunity to engage the public using art and archaeology. In fact, something that I'm really hoping that's going to take off in the next year with a project I'm getting involved in up in East Lothian. Anyway, hopefully be able to report on that next year. Archaeologists with the University of Miami and the Florida Aquarium have found a series of artifacts in a silt-covered ledge located on the bottom of an isolated Northport spring. This is in Florida, USA. The finds could be as old as 13,000 years old when hunters traversed Florida. Their travels included stopovers at what is now known as Little Salt Spring, 90 minutes south of Tampa. John Gifford, an underwater archaeologist with the University of Miami Rosenthal School of Marine and Atmospheric Science, along with aquarium divers themselves, are working together to gather the artifacts. In the last ice age, between about 10,000 to 13,000 years ago, the water level was 90 feet lower than it was today, Gifford explained. It's generally thought that along the early beach area, early humans left their tools and artifacts at the site. The site has been under excavation by scientists sporadically over the past 3 years, and only about 6% of the submerged ledge has been fully examined. The work is painstaking and dangerous, but worth the effort, the archaeologists say. The sinkhole's water chemistry and temperature have helped to create a one-of-a-kind prehistoric submerged site, where late Paleo-Indian and archaic artifacts are unusually well preserved. Wooden and other organic tools, as well as animals' soft tissues, and bones are preserved nearly intact in this unique environment. Well, that's another story I'm really excited about and look forward to hearing much, much more about. Well, it's off to China now, where archaeologists have discovered a large group of ancient stone statues at the ritual site of Guizhe Mountain near Hunan Province. The director of the Dao County Administrative Office said that Guizhe Mountain site is an ancient worship site with over 5,000 statues at the place, covering an area over 15,000 square metres. There are statues of civil officials, military officers, pregnant women and all kinds of common soldier, though far from life size, they range from 30 centimetres to 1 metre in height. Experts said that although there are over 5,000 stone statues on the ground, a large number of stone statues are still buried about 2 metres below the ground. Some were carved over 5,000 years ago, and some were carved during the Qin, Han, Wei and Jin dynasties, which ruled between 2 to 5,000 years ago. I'm just hoping I actually managed to pronounce everything correctly, but if I didn't, I'll just blame my cold. Now, a 4,000-year-old skeleton known as the Queen of the Inch is to be reinterred in the tiny island of Inchmarnock at the northern end of the Sound of Bute on the west coast of Scotland. The grave was found by a farmer in the 1950s as he ploughed a field. The skeleton was preserved in an ancient kist and the remains included a necklace and a dagger. Despite being examined by archaeologists and reburied in the 1960s, the skeleton was recently exhumed again and studied using modern research techniques. Scientists have since been able to determine that the woman lived on Inchmarnock and came from the Clyde estuary, but strangely she did not eat seafood, despite the fact that she lived on an island. There were plenty of people who lived on the island, but very, very few were given kist burials, and with something as spectacular as this necklace, which obviously she was allowed to keep, buried with her. The reconstruction of the woman's head and the necklace, which was found to be made of Whitby jet, the necklace that is not her head, are now on show at Bute Museum. The current owner of Inchmarnock Island, Lord Smith of Kelvin, said it was now time for her remains to be reburied. He said, And what you heard in the background there was, because it's quite chilly here in Scotland, that was the fire going on. Anyway, I will continue. He said, it's right that she should go back. Absolutely agree with you, Lord Smith, there. I have to say, actually, if you're interested in Bute, we've actually created a website for the Bute Landscape Partnership Scheme, and you can discover it at www.discoverbute.com. There's loads going on there, and you can actually keep up with all the archaeology that's happening on Bute itself. Still in Bonnie, Scotland, we travel up the coast to Skye, where a cave thought to have been occupied by people in prehistory is still being lived in today. A new hearth and stacks of wood cut for kindling were found in the L-shaped fissure at Leiterfura in Kinloch on Skye. The cave, carved originally by the sea, is 6 metres deep and stretches to 3 metres wide at its widest. Excavations in May 1996 uncovered evidence that the cave was occupied at periods of time from at least 2,000 years ago. When it was first discovered, tools, pottery and a hearth and shellbidden were all found, suggesting people had lived in it during the late 18th or early 19th century. The Forestry Commission in Scotland recently assigned archaeologist Martin Wildgoose to make a fresh assessment of the township abandoned during the Highland clearances, along with the nearby cave site. His report was published earlier this year and is among the new additions uploaded to the online database of Highland Archaeological and Historic Sites. Now we move up to the very north of Scotland, where some of the most famous prehistoric sites on Orkney in Scotland are being scanned using advanced 3D laser devices to record extremely faint details. The team from Glasgow School of Art and Historic Scotland will scan the chambered tomb at Maze Howe, the Ring of Brodgar and the Scarbrae settlement. The two-week project is part of a plan to build up three-dimensional images of 10 World Heritage sites. The recording process will involve a laser being fired millions of times a second at each of the monuments. The end result will be a precise record of the sites, accurate down to a millimetre. The data will be then used to assess the physical condition of the structures and provide a foundation for future conservation, site management and aid archaeological understanding. Project leader Dr. Lynn Wilson said, "This will be the first site in the Scottish 10 project where we have existing scan data. Comparing data acquired at different dates will allow us to measure any changes in the condition of the monuments." Exciting stuff there. Now let's get warm and head off to South Korea. Well, at least I hope it's warm there. Archaeologists working at a site called Changnyeong, 240 kilometres south of Seoul in South Korea, have found what is believed to be a very well-preserved ore in the mud, which has been dated so far to 5000 BCE. The find is being linked to fragments of a canoe-type boat which was found at the same site 6 years ago. Both the ore and the boat fragments were made from pine trees. Similar finds by archaeologists in Japan in 1999 have led to the belief that there was an early form of trading between the Korean Peninsula and Japan. A study published by a group of Rice University in USA in theoretical population biology proposes that a woman who lived in Africa approximately 200,000 years ago was the last common female ancestor to everyone alive today. Pieces of her mitochondrial DNA can be found in all modern human populations. The scientists performed statistical analysis of mitochondrial DNA from individuals representing many different countries. They then compared calculations from 10 models with different assumptions about human migration, population growth, and genetic mutation rates. These assumptions are represented by mathematical coefficients in the equations of these models. It's all getting a bit too technical for me there. The goal was to find the mitochondrial Eve, the woman who connects all of us genetically. The study found that all of the models that allowed for random population size gave approximately the same result of 200,000 years ago. Mitochondrial DNA is found in the energy-producing mitochondria of cells and contains 37 genes. Under normal circumstances, mitochondrial DNA comes directly to male and female children from the mother. When a sperm cell fertilizes an egg, the father's chromosomes from the nucleus of the cell joins with the mother's nuclear DNA, but the mitochondrial DNA of the sperm cell remains outside the egg, so the child inherits only the mother's mitochondrial DNA. Which came from her mother, which came from her mother, which came from her mother, and down through time. Mitochondrial Eve actually is something of a misnomer. The findings of the study do not mean that she is the ancestral mother of all living humans. Many women who lived during her time and before have contributed to our nuclear gene pool, but at some time during history, the genetic tree of all her contemporaries produced a family of only male children, so that her mitochondrial lines ended while hers continued. I'm still trying to make sense of that one, but I think I've got it. In addition to the huge humanitarian problems currently being experienced in Pakistan, there's increasing concern for some of the country's most important archaeological sites. Two of the major sites in the southern province of Sindh are of particular concern, namely Mohenjo-Daro and Amri. Mohenjo-Daro, which literally means Mound of the Dead, is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and was built around 2600 BCE and abandoned 1500 BCE. It's a very early urban settlement and it's contemporary with ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia. It was one of the major centres of the Indus Valley Civilization. Amri, a dedicated Pakistani National Heritage Site, is situated in the foothills of the Kathar Mountains near Manijhand and is already, unfortunately, inundated with water from the Indus flood. Amri is a site of the pre-Harappan fortified town that peaked between 3600 and 3300 BCE. Well, apart from that, I should say that you can also donate to the ongoing crisis in Pakistan, which is, first and foremost, a humanitarian disaster. A settlement dating back to the Neolithic was discovered at Belas Mountain, located in the southeast of Hama province in central Syria. Head of Hama Antiquities Department Abdul Qadar Farzad said the Syrian-French expedition found two archaeological sites at the site. The first consists of a simple construction, paved with stone in a circular shape, in addition to rows of stone walls. The second set is the oldest part of the village, dating back to the Neolithic, with an architectural design that is different from those found in Palestine and the Euphrates Basin. At the same time, recent work by a Syrian excavation team working at Tal Shamir, some 7 kilometres north of Ugarit, have discovered evidence of activity dating back to 2600 BCE. Some architectural details were also dated to the Hellenistic period, while Middle Bronze Age clay jars, similar to ones found in Ugarit itself, were found in the southern part of the site. Skeletal remains dated to the Late Bronze Age were found in the northwest part of the site. Hundreds of Iron Age megalithic burial sites at Sengalar village have been unearthed in the Pudukkottai district of Tamil Nadu. Discovered by the Archaeological Survey of India, the sites consist of different types of burials as well as contemporary occupation deposits. More than 500 megalithic structures believed to date back to between 500 to 300 BCE have been found during excavations of an area covering 25 hectares. The discoveries include stone circles of laterite and granite and cairns, kist burials of different types, as well as both pit burials and urn burials, with and without capstones. One special feature was a unique rectangular structure of an Iron Age funerary monument, not found anywhere else. Now to Turkey. After a man was killed by a falling rock at the ancient city of Hanakayif, southeast Turkey, the subsequent investigation has revealed that construction vehicles working in the area have brought the ancient settlement close to collapse. Archaeologist Erkan Alpay, a member of the committee formed by the initiative to revive Hanakayif, brought in to investigate the death of a man killed on July the 13th when a rock fell from a tower, has stated, "It is a crime by law to enter protected areas with heavy-duty vehicles. Before the rock broke free, there were cracks, but the necessary precautions were not taken. The road to the ancient bazaar and tents, located near the Tigris River, were closed to vehicle and passenger traffic after the fatal incident." The committee, which is made up of archaeologists, architects and geological engineers, reported that the caves used as dwellings as early as 800 BC have suffered damage. Its findings conclude that the ancient city is at risk of collapse. In the areas that are at high risk of falling rocks, the construction of new dwellings or roads should be prohibited immediately. However, the head of the Hasankeyf excavation team, Professor Abdul Aslam Ulcham, denied the committee's allegations and wrote in a written statement that heavy vehicles were not used in excavations, but only for removing debris afterwards. Approximately 3 million tourists visit Hasankeyf in 2008, but this number then fell to 2.2 million in 2009 due to the world economic crisis. The first 6 months of 2010 saw only 1 million visitors, but tourism has now dropped off as a result of the rock accident and the subsequent closure of the historical area. The entire Hasankeyf area is expected to be flooded once construction of the Ilyesu Dam is completed. Well, that should certainly sort out any problems. Unless, of course, you go diving there. Evidence from a cave site in the Atapuerca Mountains in Spain suggests that early human ancestors may have been regular cannibals who viewed their fellows as viable dietary options. That's something I've yet to do, but anyway, we'll move on. A team led by Yulet Carbonell of the University of Rovira and Vergili in Spain analysed a sample of some of the 1,039 bones, which included the butchered remains of mammoth, buffalo, cat and other species. The sample, deposited in the cave over 800,000 years ago, also contained 159 bones belonging to 11 individual Homo antecessors, thought to be a species ancestral to both modern humans and Neanderthals, and with a brain size around two-thirds that of a modern human. The bones, which include skulls, have cut marks indicative of chopping, slicing and scraping, suggesting skinning and defleshing activities paralleled in Neolithic and Native American examples of cannibalistic practices. The butchered Homo antecessor bones were mixed up with the animal bones, suggesting that cannibalism was not solely carried out during famine and that it had no symbolic value, but rather was a regular part of Homo antecessor survival strategy. The age of the find makes it the earliest known example of cultural cannibalism. This was part of a report recently published in Current Anthropology. And finally, an Iron Age clay goddess figure has come home to East Yorkshire in England after inadvertently spending 21 years in the British Museum. The figure was originally discovered at North Cave during excavations in 1986 and is thought to be around 2,100 years old. It was sent to the British Museum in 1989 in the hope of learning more about its origin and purpose from a specialist in the early gods and goddesses of the period working there at the time. There's a possibility the small figure may represent a Celtic goddess, perhaps connected in some way with the salt-making activities that went on at North Cave. However, no positive conclusions were arrived at the time. The figure was assumed to have been returned from the British Museum by the staff at Hull Council's Archaeology Department, but it was recently rediscovered by Humber Archaeology Partnership manager David Evans that it still remained in London's British Museum. "It's a joy to have it back," he said. "Mr. Evans has no doubt that the figure represents a female. She has very clear breasts," he said, "a little face, and her sides have been shaped to give her a waist in clay. In fact, she's more twiggy than Jordan." The mind absolutely boggles there. But there we are with the end of the news. I managed to survive it with my little cold there. Still no sympathy? Oh well, I'll survive. However, have you read issue 13 of Past Horizons yet? You haven't? Head on over to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine, where you can also find a lot of other things like fabulous videos, comment, archaeological tools, and so much more. Can I also remind you, you'll find so much more on my own site, and that's Badger, www.bajr.org, and more can also be found at Stone Pages News. stonepages.com. Well, thank you for listening to our croaky Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us next week.